Hi, it's Mike Spickorgan here in Audio Boot. It's Wednesday afternoon, 29th of January. I'm standing in wonderful sunshine, but I'm actually hiding away in a corner of a building in the park because as soon as I took out my recording device, the rain came on, and it's fairly heavy. So rather than get my device wet, I'm just hiding here in this wee shelter corner in the sunshine. It's absolutely lovely. But what I wanted to talk about was cars. You know, I've done some audio recently about cars, selling, acquiring, being chased by the police. And I've had a wee bit of chat back and forward with Adrian at Turbostream, and I know that Big Rick, Richard Hubbock at Auburnward, likes to talk about cars. So when I was in a textual conversation with Adrian earlier, it brought to mind the cars, or it caused me to remember that all the cars that I've had in my life, as far as I can remember, that is. So when we first got married, we had no car. I travelled to work in the company's free bus transport. But very soon, we found out that within the first year of our marriage that my wife was pregnant. And so by the end of our first year of life as a married couple, we decided we would like to get a wee car to go for jaunts, runs in the car, and also for we to take the babby, the wain, the bairn, away for wee runs. Turned out to be very fortunate because our first child was a boy, and he was notorious for not going to sleep at night, and I used to have to take him a run in the car. He'd fall asleep, and I would drive around for a few miles, bring him back, and it would be Sod's law that just as I arrived back home at the door, he would waking up and start bawling again. He was a twisted wee bugger. Our first car was an 850 Mini, a basic 850 Mini. One centre dial with a speedo and nothing else on that dash. Just two big empty compartments either side of it. But it was a great wee car. Bought it from McAlford, and here in my hometown of Bathgate. I think we paid around £400 for it at the time. But we ran that car for 7 years, approximately 7 years. And after about 5 years, the rust was beginning to get grip on it. And so I sprayed it with the aid of a friend, Rally Purple, and put some nice decals on it. And it was greatly admired by one or two people. But it transformed the car from just white with rust to rally purple, hiding the rust. It was a great wee car, but the only thing about it was transverse engine, very small engine compartment. So if you drove along the road in heavy spray, on a motorway for example, and a lorry passed, then it would have a great tendency to conk out. It did, really. So I made my own rubber insertion cloth rain spat for the front of the engine, and it worked perfectly well. I was going to paint it, but I think actually who owned it again? Minis, Austin Rover. My God, my mind's going blank. Anyway, I think they did actually have one you could buy for an extortionate amount of money, so I made my own. So after that, we had that for about 7 years, then forced to get rid of it. I bought a 1300 Austin GT saloon, which was a lovely machine, blue in colour. I bought it from a local guy who stayed in the same housing scheme, and it was a great car. The only problem with it was, again, transverse engine, that the exhaust had never been fitted properly, so about every week, no, not quite, maybe every month, when you started the car, because of the twisting operation of the engine, it separated itself from the exhaust, or the exhaust from the exhaust manifold, and blew like some demonic beast from the bowels of the earth. And so I'd have to get back in below the car and try slacking the clamps, get it all back on again. And then I found out just shortly after that, about a year later, that someone recognised the car and said it had been a write-off, and the guy had put it all back together again. So I got rid of that quite quick. Following that, I had a... And bear in mind, this is going up in size, so I went from an 850cc Mini to a 1300 GT Austin. And my next car was a 1600 Cortina, Ford Cortina. Canary yellow. Had that for a wee while, then got a wee bit fed up with that. It was a good car, it was a basic car, no special decals, nothing really, you know, it was a featureless car, in other words. It was just canary yellow and not a lot else, and plain wheels. So then a guy, I worked in the British Land at that time, and a guy that I knew, and knew from inside the work, was selling his 2-litre Ford Cortina GT with the black vinyl roof, and it was a beautiful deep metallic green, and this thing could shift. So I bought that off him, and I had that for about 3 years, and it was one Christmas, I think it was the third Christmas, my wife bought me a brand new radio for that Cortina, and I installed it, and it was great. And I had a small alarm system. It was a very basic one in the car, flashed a red LED, etc. I actually made it myself. And I got one morning, I looked out the bedroom window, and there was no car. I couldn't believe it, so I thought I was still dreaming, sleeping, that my car had been stolen. You know that disbelief you have. Well, I ran downstairs and opened the front door. This time I realised I was fully awake and there was no car. So I looked down the bottom of the road, because we stayed on a hill, and thought, has it run down the road? There was no sign. Long story short, it was found at that time, and I'm not quite sure it still goes on yet, that where we stayed up in Hart Hill, well, we were in an area called Grunrig, which is strictly speaking West Lothian. It was quite common for guys travelling home to Airdrie or Glasgow or the West to stop off at Hart Hill or Eastfield and steal a car and get you home. So my car was eventually found through in Glasgow by the police, and so my brother-in-law ran me through to the police station, and I asked them if they had immobilised it, and they said, no, it's not our job. I'll tell you where it is. And when we went there, it was stolen again. Must be quite unique to have your car stolen twice. So it was eventually found burned out in the south side of Glasgow. The insurance company paid me £250 at that time, which was the market value. My wife had paid £150 for the new radio system, and I had a full box of electrical tools in the back. So I was out of pocket by quite a bit of money, and we lost the child seat from inside the car as well. So that was a bit of a disaster, to be honest. So, moving on from that, I actually bought my wife a Fiat Strada. A lovely bronze colour, and it was a cracking wee car, you know, for a Fiat. She loved that car, but then after about a year, I sold it, basically, to get a bigger car for the family. But by this time, we had 2 kids, I think, maybe even 3 kids by that time. So we moved on, and I bought a Rover 2.6 fastback, you know, the hatchback one, the big Rover, straight six, I can't remember now. Big powerful beastie, great for holidays, great for towing the caravan. We had a caravan for years, and all the cars, apart from the smaller ones, had a tow ball on to tow the caravan about. And so I got the 2.6, which was really, really good at towing, by the way. But then it developed a little problem, which went into the garage, and at that time I remember the bill was £400. We didn't have anywhere near that to pay the bill, and the guy wouldn't give me the keys of the car back until I paid the bill. So it sat in the garage for a month until we scrounged up every penny we had to get it back out. And that was a disaster, because I found out after that Rovers were notorious for expensive repair bills. So I never ever bought another Rover, never will buy another Rover. So after that, I bought a Peugeot 605, I think it was. That's a 7-seater. The back two seats are raised higher. It has a raised elevated roof as well to accommodate the people sitting in the back. And the kids loved this car because we'd be way at the front in the driver's seat, the passenger seat. And one of the children would be in the big back seat, and the other two would be raised up, like at the pictures, you know, looking over the top of your head. They loved that car. I eventually sold that to a guy over in Macrahanish. If you don't know where that is, it's over the west coast of Scotland. Part of the mainland, but a long way round if you're going to drive it, yep, over to Inverary and away down that way. And he sent two young guys over, trusted me at my word on the phone how good the car was. At that time, no photograph sending. And they sent two guys over for the money, who said, yep, they're fine. We fed them, or Mary fed them, gave them their tea, looked after them for a couple of hours. And then they drove the car all the way back to Macrahanish. And turns out the guy was a bit of an entrepreneur who did fishing trips and took people to see shows. He organised shows in the theatres over that way. I missed that car because that was one of the slickest manual gearboxes I ever had in any car. It was a great car to drive. So after that, I had a 2-litre, 2.8 I should say, a 2.8 Granada Ghia in champagne gold and champagne gold velour interior with everything on it. It was a stunning beastie. It could shift, it could tow the caravan no problem, it looked gorgeous, it had lovely alloy wheels. Unfortunately, after a couple of years, the autobox started to play up, which is the only autobox in my life I've ever had play up on me. And it wasn't serious, but it was enough to be annoying, so I got shot off it and bought a 1600 Cortina gear, which was not a patch on the Granada. The Granada was a far superior car in every way, and although this Cortina gear was newer, younger, it just wasn't the same car whatsoever. I always felt I had devalued myself. So after that, what did I have after that? My God, I'm just trying to remember now. Give me a break. Oh yeah, it was after that that I swung into Volvos. I may have missed a car. I remember having a Vauxhall Viva for a few months in between decent cars, and that was a horrendous car. I hated it with a vengeance. Because on the camshaft drive, there was a little half-moon woodruff key. Any guys out there might know what a woodruff key is. And it had a tendency to jump out, which meant that it wouldn't turn the camshaft over. Fortunately, it was a crash-proof engine, so you couldn't actually cause any damage. It just refused to start. And then you'd have to look below the car to find the woodruff key, get it inside the engine, and slot the wee bugger back in again. And off you went. No matter how much glue or adhesive I used to stick it in there, after a few weeks it would eventually jump back out again and you were lumbered. So I hated that car, it was a horrible car. And I think after that, I'm trying to remember what I had after that, but the next car would have been probably the 2.4 DL Volvo four-door saloon in blue. It was a beautiful car, my first Volvo, and it was an automatic, and I had known guys who stayed around where my father stayed, where I was reared in Bathgate. These two guys always had Volvos, and they wouldn't buy anything else, and I wonder what was the attraction to Volvos, because they tended to be an old person's car, or an older person's car. So I bought this one, and we had that second hand. We had it for 10 years. Fantastic car, loved it to bits. Sold it because the bodywork in below was beginning to go a wee bit. And the guy that bought it, I actually bought it for the engine. I'd done over 200,000 miles, and he bought it for the engine to put into another Volvo, would you believe? So 10 years after that, I bought my second Volvo, a white 740 GL Estate, my first estate car, and that was a fantastic car again. Again, secondhand, and again, run for 10 years before we had to get rid of it. We bought it from a dealer in Glasgow, and you know what they say about buying from dealers, sometimes be very careful. I can't complain. The guy sold me a great car, and I absolutely loved it. And then my last car was that one I just sold recently, in exchange, as it were, for the latest one. And that was a Volvo V70 CD in a beautiful metallic wine colour, if you like. Being the CD, it had everything on board. Full tinted windows, climate control, heated seats, the full winter pack, quality sound system, lovely alloys, all the you know, the leather interior. It was a beautiful, beautiful car, and I'd hoped to get 10 years of that secondhand again, but unfortunately that was only 7 years, and the repair bill was going to be just a bit too much. So now I have exchanged it up to my current car, and if you don't know what that is, it's another Volvo V70, a 2001 plate that I purchased for £1,250. Got £200 for my old car, so it cost us £1,050, and it's MOT for a year. It's silver in colour, so it now matches the silver top box that was on top of the metallic red, or metallic wine, previous model. I think I've captured every car in my life up to now, and I can pretty much remember every registration plate on them, but I won't go through that just now because I'll probably trip up somewhere along the line. So yes, I used to change my cars very, very often when we were young and had a young family. Probably wasted far too much money on cars. And then as I got a wee bit more mature and got a Volvo, and it's true what they say, once a Volvo owner, always a Volvo owner. I did forget to mention my Jaguar, my XJ8, and I don't know how that I missed that out along the line, but that was a partner car. In other words, it wasn't the main used, mainly used or runabout family car. Bought when I retired, and as a Sunday toy, basically. And you've all mostly have heard about my XJ8, how I shed buckets of tears when I had to sell it recently. It was a lovely car. I won't go into it, but it was gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous car. Anyway, so that's up to now. And one other car I remember, and it was when I still had a family car, I bought one for my wife because she kept moaning about missing a wee Fiat Strada. I bought her a black Volkswagen Golf from a guy who dealt in cars. Paid about £200 for it at the time, I remember, and drove into the drive one day after having it for about 2 months. Front wheel drive vehicle, and our curb was a wee bit high, not really high, maybe about 3 or 4 inches. So it wasn't, you know, how they flatten them down to the road level. Well, ours wasn't, at that point, our drive wasn't lowered, so gently bumped it up onto the curb, driving forwards. And continued to drive into the car, into the garage, with the back end scraping on the road because the rear axle had come adrift as it hit the curb and was sitting out in the middle of the road. Two wheels and a rear axle. The car was rotten with absolute rust. It's a terrible state. A death trap, to be perfectly honest with you. And the guy wouldn't give me my money back, so I took it out in his nose. Literally. He was one of those wee sleazy cheapskate guys. So he paid the price eventually in blood. But anyway, so that's my tale of cars, my history of cars. And I'm just, I'm wondering what my tally will be before I hit the big wooden casket. I wonder how many more cars I'll go through. Yes. And I remember going for a bank loan one day when we were young and had two or three kids, and the bank manager and his assistant asked us if we had any, it wasn't collateral that they had. I think collateral signifies money.
can't remember what the term was, if you had anything that they could use to help you get your loan. I don't know why I can't remember that blooming word. You know, it's shocking. But anyway, I said yes, I have a car. And right away, and without any hesitation, he said to me, no, a car's a liability. Yeah, assets is the word I'm looking for. Funny how the brain works, or my brain works, my God. Yes, any assets. And he immediately said that a car is not an asset, it's a liability. And you know, when I think back of all the money I've spent on cars in my years, sometimes wasted money on cars, yes, absolutely, a blooming liability. Could I live without one? No. I've had my share of public transport in the past. And every time I do use public transport, which is very, very rarely, I think, should have taken the car. Should have taken the car. I think we all just got so used to having our own space, your own selves and your own wee travelling home with your creature comforts and able to say whatever the hell you like to say and not be bothered by other people. So I could never imagine me ever not having a car. So there you go. History, my history of car ownership since 1919. Yes, I'm right, 19. I got married in 71, so probably 1972, I bought my first car. 72 till 2014. You do the math, as they say in America. And here, we'll say, do the maths. Probably would have been a millionaire if I never bought a car in the first place. There you go. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.